Time to catch up with Alistair Spence-Clark from Spence-Clark & Company. Good morning, Alistair.
Good morning, Bill. How are you this wonderful sunny day?
Yes, I mean, you were telling us in an email that you've never been more busy, which is interesting.
This is the middle of the income tax season, and we have all the COVID-19 stuff with all the labour problems and everything else. So it's really unbelievably busy at the moment.
We've got a few important things to get through, and two of them in particular are related to this situation that people find themselves in. And the first one is, I'm sure anyone who's read the Spanish press have not failed to see the stories about ERTE.
Yeah, ERTEs, as we call them. Yeah. These are the schemes where people who were employed before the crisis were suspended. Their contracts were suspended on the basis that the employer, you know, had to close down. Therefore, they couldn't pay the salaries, and they wanted to protect the employees so they were alive at the end of the crisis.
Yeah.
And the government was meant to have paid them a reasonably decent amount of benefits. And effectively, the scandal, and it really is a total scandal, is that many people have, you know, still not received any money since March.
Goodness me. How is it supposed to work then, Alistair? When were they supposed to get their first payments?
Well, essentially what happens with these benefits is they're paid on usually on the 9th or the 10th of the month. So benefits for March, and you know, people didn't receive their income for the last 2 weeks of March, should have been paid on the 10th of April. The April payments should have been paid on the 10th of May. And the May payments should be paid by the, I think it's the 9th of June, in fact. Mm. So we've got people who, you know, have had no income for almost 3 months. Isn't it appalling?
Absolutely appalling. And what's even more appalling is that the minister responsible was on TV basically holding his hands up and giving the Spanish shrug, saying, "I only have two hands."
Yeah, I mean that was something worth writing home about. It was extraordinary. She's a disgrace. And you know, the PSOE government, Sanchez, has actually, I think about 2 weeks ago, promised that people will get paid within 2 weeks. Well, they haven't. Yeah. And they're probably going to have to wait until the 9th of June. I mean, the best news that we have for all these people who haven't had their payment or haven't had all their payment, because the children's benefit disability part of these payments have been deferred. People apparently should get fully paid by the 9th of June. There's a big sort of monthly run of computer stuff, and you know, people's bank accounts should be receiving the money on the 9th of June. But anyway, I thought it was worthwhile raising this because there may be people out there wondering what the hell's going on. You're not alone. There are many, many people. It is a scandal. The press in Spain is not making enough of this scandal, I have to say.
No.
You know, obviously we're getting phone calls all the time from people who haven't received their money, wondering what's going on.
So. I've noticed this morning on the Citizens Advice Bureau Spain page with Myra, who comes on the show, that people are having all kinds of trouble just getting on the website to find out what's going on with their payments. And they've even changed the way that you log in suddenly. And that doesn't work for a lot of people. It really is extraordinary, isn't it?
Oh, it's total utter chaos. In fact, one of the problems is that when people do get logged on, they can't find their claim. And so they speak to their employer, say, "What's going on? You know, I haven't received a salary. You haven't registered me under the ERTE scheme." Well, they have been registered.
Yeah.
And we have clients where one employee has received all the benefits and the other one hasn't.
Good.
So you can imagine how that goes down. You know, people think we, you know, everybody's incompetent, but no, it's not us.
Yeah,
it's not the employer. The employer's done their job. The advisors have done their job. It's the government that's incompetent. And I'm afraid, guys, you voted for them.
Yes, well, that's true. And so, you know, for people there are people having food parcels sent to them, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
You know, it's serious stuff, you know?
Well, it's absolutely serious. I mean, many of the people who are on the ERTE, you know, they're on minimum wage. Their families are living hand to mouth. Their salary payments, you know, pay the rent at the end of the month and you know, keep the food coming. You take that away, they've got no savings. They've got, you know, these people are living on the edge and they have no income for 3 months, 2 months, to 2 to 3 months. It's a scandal. It really is. And you don't read about it in the UK press. You know, everyone's, you know, having a go at the government in the UK, but they need to have a go at least mention something in the international press about these scandals.
And of course, I guess at the end of the day, there's not much that the person on the end of all this can do about it.
Nothing. There's nothing. And basically, it's just down to the utter incompetence of the government and the utter incompetence of the Social Security Office that's meant to process these things.
Yeah.
And also, they're obsessed with controlling everything. So, for example, they won't pay the child benefit or the disability benefit out, which is a significant amount of money, incidentally.
Yeah.
Until they've been able to, you know, prove, you know, to the, you know, beyond all reasonable doubt that the person's entitled to it. So instead of paying it out first and then checking afterwards, which is what a normal humane organization would do, they, you know, they're obsessed with checking everything, making sure that nobody's defrauding them.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, enough of that. We've got so much to talk about, but.
Before you finish on it, though, Alistair, how have Autonomo's got on in that situation? Because they've got a similar scheme, haven't they?
No, it's a completely different scheme.
Okay.
And they are getting benefits, and yes, it is slow. But the ERTEs, we're talking, you know, is it 1 million people on ERTE schemes?
Right.
It's a really, really large number, whereas the autonomous scheme is very modest.
Got it. Okay. Now, of course, funny enough, I read a question again on the CAB forum this morning asking exactly this. So you're going to now give them the answer if they're listening. This is people who are basically stuck in Spain and end up, because of the travel ban, of course, which has been enforced since the 14th of March, spending more than 183 days here, which, of course, then kicks them in to tax resident status. Or does it?
Yes.
Wow.
Sorry. I have to laugh because it's just so unfair. It's so awful.
Wow. I thought you were going to say no.
No, I'm sorry. There's an article on our website right at the top of the article section, Spanish tax residence rules and the problems caused by COVID-19 travel ban. And I updated that day before yesterday. Basically, the OECD, you know, the International Organization of Developed Economies, has recommended to different countries that they make exceptions due to this. The UK's done it. I think at least four or five other countries have announced that they've done it. But Spain says nothing, just absolutely nothing. Not one word has come out of the Spanish government.
Goodness.
So, you know, the OECD, which is actually really important kind of in when you want to quote something in the courts, is saying, you know, Spain needs to get this sorted, and they haven't. And unfortunately, it's not a question that Spain says we're not going to do it. But, you know, the Spanish bureaucracy being what it is, and with a government which is basically utterly incompetent, is incapable of doing the simplest things, which is simply saying, look, you know, during the period of emergency, if you've been locked in Spain, we don't consider you to have been living here. I mean, there are gaps in the law. There are words in the law, residence law, which would allow them to do this, but they have said nothing. I don't think it's because they want to. It's just because they're chaotic.
But what does it mean for the person that has now gone over that 183 days?
Well, they haven't, because we are still in May.
Yeah, of course, yes.
So my advice, and I really mean this to people, is get on the plane in Gibraltar. Go to Gibraltar with a ticket. You can go through the border. Go there by taxi so the police don't stop you. Get on the plane from Gibraltar to Heathrow. There's four flights a week, I believe.
Yeah.
Alternatively, get in the car and drive, okay? Or use a train. You know, you get a train from Malaga to Barcelona in 6 hours, and Barcelona to, you know, once you're out of Spain, then you're home and dry. Yes. And you should be allowed to travel across France as long as you're going back home.
Yeah.
And the UK hasn't yet banned you.
Absolutely,
I made light of it, but it's not light. And people who have concerns about this, and obviously these are complicated matters, please get on the phone, you know, to our office, or send us a note by, you know, on our website.
Of course, they could be caught out, Alistair, just from pure ignorance and not know anything about that, you know. And they've sat here for 3-4 months. They thought, well, it's the summer now. Well, I'll just stay another couple of months. Then there can't be anything wrong with that. Yeah,
it's too late. Yeah, I mean, you know, if you've been locked down here for 3 months, normally you spend 4 or 5 months of the year here. You know, you may find yourself in a situation where you can't come back. You know, go now, all right, and don't come back.
Yeah, I think there's a cue for a song by the Moody Blues there, but I won't play just at the moment. And to finish on the kind of bookkeeping ones here, this is for people who are filing income tax declarations for the first time. There's a new requirement.
Yeah, this is a weird one. So there you are saying, you know, I've arrived in Spain. I arrived in Spain in 2019, and you're trying to do the right thing, pay your tax declaration. But now, in order to file a tax declaration for the first time, you have to have a permiso de residencia. Now, you should have one, let's face it. If you come to live in this country, you should go and get your residencia. Mm-hmm. But if you haven't, you can't file. And the other thing is you've got to have a resident bank account. And a lot of people come here, they open a bank account, the bank says, can I have your passport as ID? And that's it. So what they don't know is they've actually opened a resident bank account. You wouldn't know the two, one from the other. They work exactly the same way, but they are different as far as the tax office is concerned.
Right.
So in filing your first tax declaration, you have to have a resident bank account and you have to have a permiso de residencia, both of which have got reference numbers that you have to put in the system. There is a way around it, and you must not delay. And that is you need to get a certificate. Okay. It's called a digital certificate. It's like a digital signature, and it's a little file you put in your computer browser. And it allows you to file a tax return without those other things. Now, you have to go to the tax office to get one. That's the problem, because the tax office is closed.
Of course.
But we hope that on the 1st, on Monday, as we hit phase two, I believe we're going to hit phase two. We hope so. From Monday, you'll be able to make an appointment at the tax office, and you can go and see a tax officer with your passport and your NIE certificate, and they'll give you a certificate. With that certificate, you'll then be able to file the tax return.
Right.
If in doubt with all these things, please phone us. Okay.
And this only applies to people who have not filed for the first time. Those who have filed one before, you can just file as normal. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Most important distinction, if you filed before, you're already on the system and you don't need to provide that information. Okay.
Fantastic. And more on those, as you say, on your website. There's detail on all of those three things we've covered today. So if people didn't manage to catch it, then you can find it on the website. We'll give the address at the end. A few questions, Alistair, for us today.
Bill, before we move on to that, I wanted to have a few words.
Yep.
I haven't sent you information about this, but it is incredibly important. And this is the new wealth tax.
Mm-hmm.
You may have heard about it.
Yeah. Yes, well, I'm not wealthy enough, Bancho. Alistair, I wouldn't know, yes. the word wealth and Padley has never been said in the same sentence.
Shame. Well, just for the poor people who have too much money.
Yeah, I feel for them.
Wealth tax was originally introduced in 1977 as an emergency tax for a couple of years. It was then reformed in 1991. Yep. It was then finally exempted in 2008 and then came back again under the emergency law in 2011. So what we have is the Unidas Podemos, the Trotsky party, the ones who particularly enjoy what's happening in Venezuela. They want to actually wipe out the existing wealth tax and replace it with a new impuesto sobre los ricos.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the rich person tax, which is going to be a national tax, so that different parts of Spain can't muck around with it. And it's going to start at effectively 1 million. Below 1 million, you're exempt. You also get a 400,000 euro home exemption value. And then from 1 million onwards, it's 2% flat rate.
Okay.
To 10, then it goes up to 2.5% between 10 and 50 million, between 50 and 100 million, 3%, and over 100 million, 3.5%. Now, let's face it, the bank at the moment charges you money to keep an account. Deposits don't exist. So here we have a tax, which is apparently it's going to raise the amount of revenue in Spain from 2 million to 10 million. And as Spain generates 350 odd billion. To find another 6 or 7 billion from the rich is a tiny amount of tax. It really is. It's basically a penalty for the rich. Now, what the rich are going to do is they're going to look at the UK and say, wow, I can live there tax-free virtually, because we have in the UK a wonderful non-domiciled system where the Russians and everybody else lives there.
Yeah.
And they're just going to leave Spain. And any wealthy Spanish families out there, please give me a ring, because I can tell you all about this wonderful UK environment. And other countries like Ireland and many other countries provide excellent alternatives, including Portugal, incidentally. Okay. So tax on the rich. If you don't like it, leave Spain.
Along with the Brits who are desperate to get back home so they don't pass 183 days. Those planes are going to be full. Yeah. You should become a travel agent, Alistair.
Yeah, absolutely. The only good news is that the chances of this becoming law are very, very remote. So I don't want to frighten people unnecessarily, but it's always good to plan. The law is probably unconstitutional. The PSOE is prevaricating. It's only the Communist Party which is actually trying to promote this, and it's I would guess it's not going to happen.
Okay.
We'll know in a few months' time. Anyway, now we need to move on to these questions.
A few questions. Firstly, from Linda, we are pensioners. We bought a small house in Spain in February 2016. It's our sole property. We don't own any stocks or shares, have a small amount of savings for unforeseen expenses. Due to the ignorance of the tax system and finance in general, they filed a tax return for the first time last year, 2019. There was no tax to pay, but they didn't declare both their small USA pensions. The question is, how do they now declare them? My husband said he thought that because the pensions are taxed in the USA, it was not necessary to declare them. Linda thinks otherwise. Please advise.
Linda is correct. Yep. If these are normal, you know, employer pensions from the US, they are taxable in Spain only. So if you're declaring them in the US and you are paying tax in the US, you need to tell the US tax office not to apply tax because you're only taxable in Spain on those pensions. Now, I make one exception to this, and that is if the pensions are government pensions, not state pensions, but government, because you were a government employee or you worked for the postal system or you were ex-military or something of that nature or ex-FBI. In those cases, the pensions are only taxable in the US. Okay, mm-hmm. So answer to your question, how do you fix it? Well, basically, you should refile your tax returns. There's no big deal. You pay a small 5% penalty a quarter. So maximum fine is about 20% after four quarters. It's really not a big deal. Or you can just take a risk and file this year only. I think you should go back there. Okay.
Fine. Good answer. Okay. John has asked, can you advise how the Spanish tax system treats a UK-based share ISA? If the value at the beginning of the year is 100,000 and it grows by 10,000, this income will come, say, from dividends paid by companies of 5,000 and 5,000 from the increase in the value of the shares in those companies. Is 10,000 or 5,000 taxable?
I'm sorry, John. I'm going to give you some bad news here. It's not a fund. The UK looks through that and says you've got a bunch of underlying investments, and it's those investments that are taxable, not the ISA. Mm. In fact, from a UK perspective, I believe that non-UK residents are no longer allowed to have ISAs.
Mm.
Okay, yeah. Because they are favourable tax, and then you're only allowed to have them as a resident of the country. So as far as Spain is concerned, you effectively need to pay on the 10,000.
Yep.
Okay, so if the value of your fund has gone up by 10,000 in the year because of dividends and buying and selling of shares and stuff, it is that 10,000 that is taxable. Okay.
Understood. Okay, hope that answers the question. And from Gail, who says, my husband was in the army and sadly passed away in December 2018. I receive a widow's pension from the army, which is taxed at source. I cannot understand why, when this is taxed in the UK, it is added to my occupational and state pension. My tax advisor states that the double taxation agreement with the UK changed in 2015 and the army pension must be shown on the renter. Is this correct? I have no worldwide assets, just my home in Sierra Longa.
I suspect it could be correct and it could not be correct, and it's all a question of terminology. Mm. Gail, I'm sorry, I haven't fully understood your terminology. Basically, your government pension, your widow's pension from the army is not taxable in Spain, to the extent that it is only incorporated in the calculations to use up your personal allowances. So basically, although you're not taxed on the actual pension receipt, the pension receipt effectively takes away part of your allowances. So if your allowance is 5,500, say, for your personal allowance, and you receive a UK government pension of 5,000, you lose 5,000 of those allowances.
Yeah. Yeah.
So to that extent, it's taxable, but it's not taxable. Okay. Sorry to, it's quite a complicated thing to explain over the phone. Not over the phone, but over the radio. But if you have any doubts, get hold of the draft of the tax declaration, send it to Claudia in my office. She'll be delighted to check it and send it back to you.
Fantastic. And just to finish off with here, this is quite an interesting point, actually. John sent an email into the studio saying that people who have been here prior to lockdown for 150 days, of course, would now have been here over 183 days, and we didn't think about them.
No, that doesn't apply, because Spain has a calendar year system, and we haven't yet got to the 30th of June.
Yes,
it's minor detail. Also, it's we often don't mention the calendar year system. It's an obsession in Spain. Everything's calendar year. So if you've been here from the 1st of January to the 31st of May, you've been here 5 months, which is more or less 150 days. It's not 150, it's 183 days. Okay?
Good point. Interesting. Yeah, so it's got to toss up from the beginning of the year.
Yeah, in fact, I think it was Greg. Yeah, here we are. Greg who wrote in on the 26th. And he specifically mentioned the OECD and the Spanish government. And good for you, Gary. He picked up on that particular point.
Nice one. We're out of time, Alistair. Let's give your web address out and the phone number for people who want some more information, as I'm sure they do.
Yeah, it's spenceclark.com. Spence with an E on the end and Clark with an E on the end. And our phone number is 952822943.
Fantastic. If people get their questions in, you're here last Thursday of every month. Look after yourself and the family, Alistair, and we'll speak same time next month.
Thank you very much.
All the best. Take care.
Thank you, Bill.